Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, our help is in the name of Jehovah, who made heaven and earth. Grace, mercy, and peace be granted unto you from God the Father, and from Jesus Christ our Lord, through the operation of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We praise God by singing number 376. God remembered all our woe, rescued us from every foe, food to all doth he supply. Praise the Lord, enthroned on high, for his mercy doth endure, ever faithful, ever sure. Let's sing 1, 3, 4, and 6 of 376. We worship God by giving heed to the reading of his law. And God spake all these words recorded for us in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thyself any graven image, nor the likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or in the earth beneath, or in the waters under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt do no manner of work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Jesus summarized the law when he said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. We express our love for the law and our adherence to it by God's grace in the words of Job, Job 23, verses 11 and 12. My foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Job there was not saying he'd never sinned, but was saying that he strove to live on the power of the Spirit in Christ, which power we also seek. We sing 336. Lord, I love thy good commandments and esteem them more than gold. All thy precepts are most righteous. Hating sin, to these I hold. Both stanzas of 336. Let us come to God in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, we come to thee this morning as thy children who owe thee due obedience, reverence, and love. also as thy servants, who are charged to obey thy commandments and to seek thy kingdom and do thy will without any sidestepping and without any lack of willingness on our part. We come to thee as thy children and servants, acknowledging how great thou art. We are grateful to call thee Father, for the blessings thou dost give us in Jesus Christ are rich and innumerable. That we can call thee our Father and have the hope of eternal life is to us a most precious treasure. At the same time, because thou art our Lord and Master, we come to thee having sought in the past week to live diligently in accordance with thy precepts, but confessing as we come that we have sinned against thee. As children, we are filled with shame to have to say this and to bring it to thee in prayer, and yet, because thou dost know our hearts and lives, thou dost already know our sins, we come to thee confessing that we know them too, and that the daily struggle against sin that we have fought in this past week is not one in which we've always found the victory, but that because we have not always looked to thee for the strength either and fought in the power of Jesus Christ. This is our confession. And with sorrow, we acknowledge our guilt, but seek that thou wilt cover our sins in the blood of Jesus Christ and empower us all the more to live a new and holy life. We come also thanking thee for the many earthly provisions thou hast given us to enable us to carry out our work in this life. Food and drink is given us in abundance. We have adequate clothing and shelter. We have luxuries beyond imagining of many people in past years. We have riches. We confess, Father, we are not destitute. Even if it seems to us difficult always to pay the bills, that's not because we are destitute. We have much. Sometimes our own wrong priorities and setting our heart on earthly things are the reason why we find or think to ourselves that the money is not sufficient. When we look, though, at all that we have, and when we see that thou dost bless it and hast blessed it to this point for our use, that the food we have nourishes and strengthens, and the clothing and shelter keeps us warm and dry, and that the other possessions we have are more than adequate for what we need, our hearts are filled with gratitude. And we acknowledge thee as the one fountain of all good and perfect gifts. And then we come to thee with the prayer on our lips. Keep us, Father, from setting our hearts on these things. Cause us to remember that we are but pilgrims and strangers here below. The more we have, the more we are weighted down in our earthly pilgrimage. We pray that thou wilt grant us to serve thee with all these gifts, but not to serve ourselves or set our hearts upon them. Give us this day our daily bread. Bless unto us the provisions thou hast given, so that they are sufficient for our use, and that in the strength we receive from them, we can go about our labors on behalf of thy cause and kingdom. Today particularly, as we desire to devote ourselves unto thee more perfectly, we pray that thou wilt grant us to use our food and drink only insofar as it will enable us to worship thee and to come to thee in prayer and song and devotion. We pray that Thou wilt cause us to acknowledge Thee as the giver of every good and perfect gift, to put our trust in Thee, keep us from anxiety and from worry. Cause us to remember that Thou wilt always supply our needs. But then working in us gratitude, working in us also contentment, cause us to manifest in our life that we are not earthly minded, that we have been distinguished from the world of sinful and ungodly men around us by Thy grace, and that grace shines forth in all of our life. We pray Thy blessing on us as congregation as we gather for worship. Having set aside earthly labors and tasks for that which is better, we desire Thee a blessing here in Thy house. We come not only out of compulsion and by command, but we come willingly. We are drawn of Thy Spirit because we would taste anew of the riches of salvation Thou dost provide. Not only earthly bread, but heavenly bread we seek from Thee, and know that the heavenly is of greater value and of greater and more everlasting sustenance than the earthly. And so we pray that Thou wilt open our hearts to hear Thy word. Bless Thy servant who brings it, that he might bring it clearly and in accordance with the Scriptures, bringing Thy word and not his own ideas. By Thy Spirit, prepare our hearts to receive this seed and cause it to sprout and to grow forth and to bring forth fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, or 100-fold in accordance with Thy will. If our hearts are stony or thorny, if we have no room for Thy word in them at the moment, then, Father, prepare them by Thy grace. Overcome this depravity which cleaves to us and cause us now to repent of our sins and to hunger and thirst for the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Bless those of the congregation who are led through particular needs and trials, whether in body, in soul, or in mind. Whether due to sin specifically, or whether a general consequence of sin, as all of our troubles are. Pray that Thou wilt care for those who mourn and grieve because of the death of loved ones, or any of Thy people who approach death themselves. Care for the widows and widowers, the aged, the sick, the afflicted, those in institutions of mercy. Care for Ted DeVries and remember him, particularly in the coming week, if it is Thy will that he undergoes surgery. Use it for his strengthening and health, if that be in harmony with Thy will. Bless also all those who are poor in the Church of Jesus Christ, here or over the world. Pray that Thou wilt cause those who are destitute to look to Thee in their need and supply their need, but grant to them also to be kept from sin and evil as they seek the supply of their daily food. We pray that Thou wilt bless the office bearers who rule over us and who carry out the duties specific to their offices, elders, deacons, and pastors. Give to these men the grace to love Thee with a sincere heart, and to show in their own life that they are men devoted to Thy good cause and to Thy law. We pray that Thou wilt give us as a congregation also the grace that we need to rejoice in the salvation given and in the Christian life, and in all things to show that we are truly thankful. It's so easy for us to take the words on our lips, because we know we should, but may our lives show true thankfulness to thee for all thou hast done. Bless our families, parents, and children. Especially we are mindful of the children who are the future generation of the church, future leaders, fathers, and mothers. We pray that thou wilt bless our children and young people, that all of their education and development, both physical, intellectual, and spiritual and psychological, might be with a view to them being prepared for the place they must play in thy church. Thank thee for each and every member. Thy church as a body needs each of us. And we pray, therefore, that we might, with grace and humility, look more highly on others than on ourselves, and be ready to use our gifts for the advantage and salvation of others. Pray these things, seeking the forgiveness of sins and thy blessing on us in every way, for Jesus' sake. Amen. The offering for the general fund will be received. We sing 396. Thy creatures look to thee for food, from day to day supplied, and thou dost for their sustenance with open hand provide. 1 through 4 and 6, omitting the fifth of 396. We read God's word in Mark 6, reading verses 30 through 44, and then we'll read several verses out of Mark 8. Mark 6, 30 through 44. Jesus sent the 12 out two by two, and they come to him now with a report of what has happened. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go out into the country round about, and into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said unto them, Give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, Shall we go and buy 200 pennyworth of bread, and give them to eat? He saith unto them, How many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks, by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven, and blessed, and brake the loaves, and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all, and they did all eat, and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments, and of the fishes. They that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. We turn also to Mark 8 and read the first 9 verses. In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and saith unto them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them came from far. And his disciples answered him, From whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? And he asked them, How many loaves have ye? And they said, 7. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and brake and gave it to his disciples to set before them, and they did set them before the people. And they had a few small fishes, and he blessed and commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets. And they that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. Thus far we read God's word. We take our instruction also from Lord's Day 50 of our Heidelberg Catechism. Which is the 4th petition? Give us this day our daily bread. That is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the only fountain of all good, and that neither our care nor industry, nor even thy gifts, can profit us without thy blessing. And therefore, that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures, and place it alone in thee. Beloved saints in Jesus Christ, the miracles of the feeding of the 5,000 and of the feeding of the 4,000 demonstrate the power of God through Jesus Christ to supply the bodily needs of his people. This isn't the greatest significance of the miracles. The greater significance the Apostle John points us to, and Jesus through taught the Jews that greater significance, when he said to them, I am the bread of life. Just as I fed you with food for your body, so you must know that there is a food you must eat for your souls, and I am that food. The miracles of Jesus always point to the saving grace of God in Jesus Christ. That really is the greater significance of the 2 miracles that we read this morning. But in addition to that spiritual significance, also this is taught that God supplies his people with earthly food to satisfy our hunger. To say that isn't to say that all those 5,000 in the one instance and the 4,000 in the other were all God's people. In fact, the account in John 6 also makes clear that that isn't so. Jesus fed many who later rejected him in unbelief. It was when he taught them the deeper significance of this miracle that we read in John 6, from that time many forsook him and didn't follow him anymore. They would have nothing to do with a spiritual bread of salvation in Jesus Christ. It wasn't that these 9,000 people were all God's children, but in feeding them, God showed his love for his elect particularly, and his care for their body as well as their soul. You perhaps ask, why was the miracle repeated? Why must there be a feeding of the 5,000 and again of the 4,000? Well, certainly the circumstances dictated that. Jesus makes that clear in Mark 8 when he said to the disciples that they're going to faint by the way if we send them back home. They have come out to hear Jesus teach, and now they are hungry and have no food, so necessity dictated the performance of both miracles. At the same time, Jesus as a teacher understands the need to repeat fundamental key points. Repetition is the key to learning. And the disciples needed that repetition. They have not understood all the significance of the feeding of the 5,000. That's evident when they say to Jesus, well, how are we going to feed these 4,000 people out here in the wilderness? They must be taught yet again that God will provide for the needs of his people. That repetition is important for you and for me also. It's the reason, really, why we keep preaching on the doctrines in the catechism regularly. Finishing the catechism, we begin anew and preach once more through it. And so we come today to a particular doctrine that we do need to be taught repeatedly because we so quickly forget. That is that in the way of praying for our daily bread, our Heavenly Father answers that prayer and bestows on us all that we have need of. What we have came from God. We need to be reminded of that. But we have before us not only a prayer for earthly bread, we have before us also a prayer for spiritual graces. When I say that, I'm not spiritualizing the idea of the bread. The prayer, the fourth petition, is a prayer for earthly bread. We are not going to explain that bread in a spiritual way. But why do we pray to God this petition? And why, when we pray to God, do we pray only for bread, and for bread only for today? The answer to those questions will indicate that we need certain spiritual graces in order to make this petition. The graces of trust, contentment, gratitude, love, and others. A prayer for earthly necessities, and also for spiritual graces. I call your attention, therefore, this morning to the fourth petition under the theme, Praying for Our Daily Bread, asking for bodily necessities first, and second, seeking spiritual graces. The petition is a prayer that God will give us all things necessary for the body. Our catechism explains it that way. Be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body. And did so earlier also when we were taught what we should pray for. And the Lord's Prayer was set forth as a model and an example of those things we should pray for. All things necessary for soul and body. That this petition regards necessities of the earthly life and of the body is evident, first of all, because it sets forth bread as that for which we must pray. Bread represents all that the body needs. We have a figure of speech in this petition by which one necessity of the body, bread, is set forth with reference to all the necessities of the body. Now the point is not that in asking for bread, we have an example of coming to God asking for all different kinds of food. Not all kinds of food are necessary for the body. Bread isn't here as a part as a representative of food, but bread is used here as a representative of the necessities of the body, which include clothing and shelter and perhaps in our society, money to provide these things. These are necessary for the body, but they're not necessary for the same reason that the world would tell us and that our own natures would tell us. We would say, well, they're necessary for the body, our bread, food, clothing, and shelter, because then our life is a pleasant life. Then our stomachs are full. Then our bodies are warm. Some would say, here's the mark of a true Christian. He's one who is prosperous and always has what he needs. But you see, our bodily happiness is not God's primary concern. God is the one who determined that these things are needful for the body, not for those reasons given, but because he has so ordained that the body itself, a part of this earth, needs earthly supports and sustenance in order to be strong, and with that strength to serve Him, to do His will, and to seek His kingdom. Why are these things necessary? Because as servants of God, as we busy ourselves in doing His will, obeying His law, carrying out the duties of our station and calling, our body grows weak, our body grows weary, and so food, in measure, clothing, to a degree, and adequate shelter is needed. Do we pray for the necessities of the body? I know we pray this petition, and we pray words similar to it in our prayers, but is it often the case that when we make this prayer, it doesn't really arise from our heart? And perhaps doesn't really arise from our heart because we already have so much, it appears almost redundant that we would make this petition because we already have our daily bread and far more than our daily bread. Our Lord teaches us then this important point. Let us know what is needful for the body, and even if it appears that it's been supplied already, let us come to God in prayer for it. The second way in which it's evident that this petition is a petition for the daily and the bodily necessities is the fact that we ask for bread for the immediate present. Give us this day. That is again why Jesus supplied the needs of the people. Their need was immediately evident. They will faint if they go home without eating. We don't need air conditioning today, if in fact we even need it at all. We don't need the ingredients for our Thanksgiving dinner in our cupboard today, if in fact we even need the ingredients for our Thanksgiving dinners, feasts, at all. What we need today is one pair of clothing for the day. Possibly today, it being a cooler day, a jacket or some form of outerwear that is sufficient. And what we need for today is just enough food so that our bodies can live and function. If we remember that, we will set priorities with regard to the obtaining of our earthly gifts that will reflect we know what our needs really are. There are some, it's the nature of all of us, so busy trying to get the luxuries of life that they disdain or overlook the necessities. I'll use an example that takes this to an extreme. And so, if not exactly true of us to that extreme, still teaches us a lesson. The drunkard can only think of drink. Now, wine in moderation and alcohol in moderation is not in itself wrong, so that it's not wrong to possess such. But such is certainly not a necessity of the body. When the drunkard can only think of drink, which is really a luxury, to the extent that he deprives his children and wife of the means to buy bread for the day, that he sets the luxuries on a higher priority than necessities. Or the one who wants always to have clothing that is in style, may very well make that such a high priority that he or she disdains the clothing in the closet already. I have nothing to wear. What do you mean you have nothing to wear? The closet is full of stuff you could wear. Yes, but that's outdated. The point is that when we understand that we're praying for our daily bread today, the necessities of the body for the immediate present, we may not disdain and look down on what God has already given, even if it's subpar to the world's standards, and we may not make our priorities the obtaining of more and more luxuries. We may have our Thanksgiving dinner, but for today, all we need is a little food. Implied in this petition are two distinct prayers. The first is that God will give us these bodily necessities. We are powerless to provide them for ourselves. Another thing that we so often forget as we wake up in the morning, feeling strong and healthy, going about our daily work, knowing that our employer's business is running smoothly and an economy even such as this is doing well, we forget that all we are doing is availing ourselves of means God uses to give us food. And so we come to God with a prayer, give us. God doesn't always use the means of a strong and healthy body, after all. Also, the weak man, unable to work, needs food, and God must use a different means to give it, the means of others. He doesn't always use the means of an employer or of work. Some men don't have a job, and yet they need their food, and God uses the means of others. When he uses the ravens, as he did for Elijah, when he uses miracles, as Jesus did in these two instances, when he uses the father to give food to the child, or whatever means he uses, let us acknowledge God has given and seek from God these gifts. And when he gives, acknowledge his power. He is able to provide. His love for his children in Jesus Christ, such that he will not allow us to go without what we need, and his sovereign control of all things, such that our daily provision is supplied. All of those are really implied in the prayer. The first two, the power and the love of God, are implied in our address. We go to our Father with this petition. And the third one, the sovereign control of God to provide, is implied in the petition itself in the word our daily bread, which means literally the food that we have coming to us. We don't pray that with the idea of so many, I have a right to food. You give me my food. I need my food. But we pray that understanding that from all eternity, God determined what food he would give us today. Imagine that he did that from all eternity with regard to the billions of people ever created and the many millions or more of his own children who've lived in the history of the world. Each one, from all eternity, he has appointed a certain provision from day to day. Give us, Father, that which thou hast already set aside for us. The second petition implied here is that God bless these earthly provisions unto us. He who gives can take. Our food can spoil or can be used to make us sick. Our house can be eaten by termites or be destroyed by fire. Bless these provisions unto us so that they are for our good. That's the second part of this petition. Now you can see how relevant the petition still is to you and to me who have so much that we might not even think to ask for it. We must pray that He bless. And that's why a prayer before the meal and after the meal is always very appropriate. It's why a prayer at the beginning of the day and at the end of the day is always appropriate. Prayer for all kinds of other things too, of course, but that God will bless unto us the things He's given for our sustenance and for our use. That God does indeed bless is one of the points that these miracles illustrate. That 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish could feed 5,000 men. And then one of the other gospel writers, not Mark, says, besides women and children. So that we have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish being sufficient to feed 10,000 people, conservatively estimated, and that later 7 loaves of bread and a few fish feed 4,000, and all are filled, and there's leftovers. That's God's blessing. That's not only God giving, that is God blessing, making that food sufficient. Well, He does that to you and to me today. And as we look at what's in the cupboard and say to ourselves, it isn't much. As we look at our bank account and say to ourselves, it's almost gone. And then go to God in prayer. We will find again and again that what to us is little is enough. God blesses it, so that it's of use to us and so that it's sufficient for us. Give and bless. God hears and God answers this prayer for bodily necessities. We know He will, first of all, from His promise in Matthew 6, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God will fulfill His promise. But the miracle is a concrete demonstration of that. Let's suppose that as long as Jesus had lived on earth, He had made such a promise. Stop worrying. God will take care of you. But He had not performed any miracle to demonstrate the truth of His promise. His children, His disciples then and us today, might wonder, yes, God promised, but how? How is He fulfilling it? When will He fulfill it? In these miracles, we have a concrete demonstration of the promise of Jesus. We have God fulfilling His promise itself. And so it's encouragement and reminder to you and to me, God fulfills His promises in unique ways, ways we might never have imagined. Not miracles today necessarily, but providential ways which cause us to stand amazed. The third way in which we know that God will hear and answer this prayer is that our experience teaches us that. What day of our life have you noted it on your calendar? The day He did not provide daily bread? Was there a day like that in your life? Has not God every day of our life since our birth given us that which we need? The fourth reason why we know God will hear and answer this prayer is that Jesus Christ our Lord has earned for us the right to daily bread. When He, dying for our sin and rising again to restore us to fellowship with God, made us God's children and restored us to stewardship, to a position of service. The position of child and of servant is a gracious gift of God earned by Christ. But God does not give His servants a position and withhold from us the means to carry out that work. You remember Pharaoh, children? You have to make so many bricks, and you got to find the straw for it too. Hurry up now. It's up to you to do it, and we'll whip you if you don't. That's not God. God gives us a position, a way to serve. He gives us the means to serve Him with. He gives us a position as sons and daughters and as stewards and servants. He will provide us the bread, the meat, and the clothing needful, all for the sake of Jesus Christ. An unfaithful steward, such as we are by nature, doesn't deserve these. The right is in Christ Himself. Though God answers our prayer every day, there will come a day when He withholds bread. I don't mean only in the days of persecution when Antichrist rules. I mean that in the life of every one of us, at least every one of us who grows old, there comes a point at which bread is no longer what we need. The body is weak and growing weaker. God shows that that's not our immediate need anymore because there is no appetite for food, no hunger. In the way of withholding bread, God prepares to deliver us from earth to heaven, where this prayer will not ever again need to be made. Not only is this a prayer for bodily necessities, but it's a prayer also for spiritual graces. Our catechism underscores that when it says that the effect or the purpose of God's providing us with all things needful for the body is that we may thereby acknowledge Thee to be the only fountain of all good, and that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in Thee. And that again was the point of the parable of the miracles that Jesus performed, to point us to the spiritual bread and graces that we need in Jesus Christ. Always the earthly is a picture of the heavenly. There are three graces particularly which we seek here. The first is the grace to trust God to supply our needs. If God gives and if God blesses, then in God we trust. That really can't be the motto of a country, because a country is not the body of people that God redeems unto Himself in Christ. But it can be and is and must be the motto of the Church of Jesus Christ. In God, that is the one true God, Jehovah, we trust. And yet we are prone to anxiety. We go to bed tonight and wonder what we will wear and eat tomorrow. Not because we have nothing set in store, but because our tastes want something else. We need grace to trust God, and we come to Him with that prayer here, recognizing that in the way of anxiety is only unhappiness and restlessness, but in the way of trust is peace and happiness. That grace to trust that we seek implies that we will seek the supply of our bread in a way that pleases God. We trust Him to provide. We will now use the means that He has given, and we will not depart from the means He gives. I pray for my daily bread, and I go out to find work if I don't have work already. And yet, if God does not give work, I wait on Him to provide, but I will not steal. I might get bread in the way of stealing. Many have. But that will not be God's way to provide, and especially to bless that bread unto me. When I pray for grace to trust, I bind myself to use the means God has provided and not depart from His law. And even in using the means God has provided, the means of work, for instance, I bind myself to use that means in the proper way in which God meant it to be used. Remember that principle that the psalmist sets forth, Psalm 127, 1 and 2. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so He giveth His beloved sleep. Yes, but a man says, I've got to get up early. And it isn't getting up early that in itself is vain. And I've got to stay up late, and I've got to be working 18, 20 hours a day, day after day after day after day, because I need all that money on which to live. The child of God, who trusts God to supply his needs, won't say that. He'll work, yes. He'll work hard, yes. There may be a day he works 20 hours, yes, depending on the circumstances. But he will not become such a slave to his work because he has in mind getting ahead and getting more and getting rich. He will use work as a means which God provides within reason and put it also in the right perspective and make it a right priority. Grace to trust. The second grace which we seek is grace to be content with what God has given. Because in answer to this prayer, it is true that God will give to one in the church more than He gives to another. And at times we will become covetous and not like that and accuse God of doing wrong. Then let's remember that parable that Jesus told, recorded in Matthew 20, the parable of those men who were hired at the beginning of the day and more at the third hour, at the sixth, at the ninth, and even at the 11th hour of the day. And each of them at the end of the day gets a penny, and those who work for 12 hours complain covetously because they get a penny, when also those who worked but 1 hour get a penny. And the Lord says, is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? I will be content with what God has given me, though He give more to another, because He, in His sovereign will, has determined to give me this much, and it's all I need. That's contentment. I don't mind that the brother has more than I do. I didn't need it. That's contentment. Implied in this grace of contentment are those of thanksgiving and praise. How often does thanks arise to God from our heart for earthly gifts? And how often do we spell them out instead of simply saying thanks for our daily bread and all things needful for the body? Do we take this gift and that gift, particularly enumerating them in our own mind, and receive them with gratitude from God? It's a paradox. It's an apparent contradiction that the less one has, the more thankful he is. But the reason is because he's learned to appreciate the small things and not to set his heart on things to receive what he has as a gift from God. Jesus instructs us by his example in this need to be content and thankful when in each of the miracles, before he distributed it, he gave thanks and blessed. The third grace that we seek and pray for is a grace to love one another and to show that love in using our possessions for the good of others. The prayer is not give me this day my daily bread, but give us. We have the Church of Jesus Christ in mind. We are praying for brothers and sisters in Christ. How selfish we become. Give me. I don't care what happens to others. Be sure I get enough. But the prayer is a prayer for grace to love. And that love will show itself when I have more than enough of my daily bread and my brother or sister has not enough and I give of mine for him. Striking illustration of that in the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus said, "How much food do you have?" And when the disciples knew the answer, they said, "We have 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now again, if you read some of the parallel accounts, you find out that it was a lad, a young boy or man, who had this food. He thought ahead. He took food for himself. The rest of the people didn't. And now you're asking this man to give his 5 loaves and 2 fish to feed this many people?" He could have scoffed and said, as the disciples themselves did, "That's not going to be enough. Why should I even give any at all? I could use it all myself, and it's never going to be enough for the multitude." We don't read any more details about that lad giving, but he gave, evidently. And then Jesus, to the disciples, illustrates it, the need to love, in yet another way in the parable. This time, in the parable of the feeding of the 5,000. The disciples have told Jesus, verse 36 of Mark 6, to send the disciples away to go get food. The disciples are not thinking of caring for the needs of the multitude. They do not right now manifest a love for the earthly needs and bodies of these people. "Send them away," he answered and said unto them, "give ye them to eat." How come it hasn't crossed your minds, disciples, that instead of sending them away, get rid of all this people, you could give of your own for them? So must we give for others. The way in which God answers this prayer, especially for the poor and destitute, is that the deacons in the church have collected the alms and the mercies from us who have more and go bring those gifts to the poor. Or that we give privately and individually of our own means for the needs of others. Grace to love. These three things, trust, contentment, and love, are graces, spiritual powers that can come from God alone. You might say of some man in the world, and the world will say it of its own, what a giving person he or she was. He never seemed to worry. Yes, God gives personalities to people that make them appear that way, but grace to trust in God? No unbeliever, no unregenerated man has that power. Grace to be thankful to God? Grace to love the brother and sister for God's sake? These are spiritual powers that come only to God's people in Jesus Christ alone. So that as we pray for these graces specifically, we also, just as we did with regard to the bodily necessities, have the confidence that God will hear and answer. For to this end, Christ both died and rose again. To take an ungrateful, murmuring, discontent, selfish people, such as we are by nature, and restore us to the gratitude, the selflessness, the contentment, the love that God would have us show in Jesus Christ. And we've experienced in our own lives that God answers the prayer for these graces. For even though we are alive in Jesus Christ, we often find ourselves reverting back to those sins. We find that in the way of prayer. It takes prayer before the collection plate for benevolence is passed. It takes prayer in my home to decide how much will I put in. I answer to God for that. I give of my own for the poor. It takes prayer. And it takes prayer to give cheerfully and willingly. God answers that prayer, and in answering the prayer, causes us to enjoy more and more the blessings of trust and of contentment, the peace that passes all understanding. He will provide us our daily bread. He will give us that which we need to use it aright, until at last, He perfects us in glory, and we use all our possessions in the right service of Him and with a heart of contentment and love. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, hasten that day when we show that we've been given these graces in perfect measure, and until that day, give them to us now, and may we show in our treatment of and love for others that we have these graces. Give us our daily bread also, which we now receive from thee with thanksgiving. For Jesus' sake, amen. We sing number 54. My faithful shepherd is the Lord, supplying all my needs. All 5 of 54. With the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.